We've been talking about different aspects of the Holy Spirit over the last few weeks. He is a person. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. His presence is in us. His power will move us. He determines the gifts we need and use for the common good. Last week we talked about he has principles that govern his actions and should govern ours as well. And today I want to talk about he is holy. You know, all too often we think that holiness and this idea of being holy is an Old Testament sentiment. We think of Noah and the flooding that came because of wickedness that was in the world, and God, you know, there has to be holiness there, and God destroyed everyone except Noah and his family. We think of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because unholy things were happening there. We think of the escape from Egypt and the conquering of the promised land that the Egyptians were destroyed through plagues and attacked through plagues, and the army was destroyed in the Red Sea. And we think, you know, that's because God is holy and he doesn't like all of this things that go against who he is and what he is. We can even think of several throughout Scripture, like Moses and Joshua and Isaiah and others, who, when they found themselves in a certain situation, they heard the words, "You are on holy ground." Throughout the Bible, we can hear God say to his people, "Be holy, because I am holy." And as we think of the Holy Spirit, we know he is holy. It's in his name, Holy Spirit. Our scripture today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit." The Word of God for the people of God. When we think of the word holy, we think of it, and it is true, that it is an attribute or a characteristic of God. And along with his glory, we're able to see it on display. Not only in Scripture, which we do, but we just see his holiness on display in various aspects of our lives. In Scripture, we see it on Mount Sinai as the people down at the base of the mountain, as they looked up where Moses went up there, there is thunder and lightning and things going on up there that they didn't even want to go up and see. We see in Scripture Moses asking to see God, and God says, "My glory is too much. I'm too holy. But tell you what, you hide here in the cleft of the rock and I'll walk by. You can catch my backside as I go around the corner." God is holy. In his temple, there is a place that only the high priest could enter, and only one time a year. And it was called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. And it is said that God's glory would come to sit there on top of the ark as the seraphim's wings wrapped around him there. God is holy. And we think of that holiness often when we're in a church building. At least many of us do. Specifically in a sanctuary. I know I've heard, and some of you I know have heard, you know, be careful about what you do or say. You're in church. And yet the New Testament is clear in a number of places that holiness, being holy, is not just a place. It is an attribute or a characteristic. It is a situational thing that we as humans need to consider. for whatever it was, we're supposed to be careful because we're in church. Really, whatever that is, we should be careful because the Holy Spirit of God is with us. Our body and soul is where He resides. We are the temple for God's holiness as the Holy Spirit indwells in us. But we have a struggle going on. I ran across something that Ronald Rollheiser wrote back in 1999 in a writing called The Holy Longing. And it really speaks to the struggle. I know Paul speaks of it in Romans as well. I like the way Ronald put it for us today. We want to be a saint, but we also want to feel every sensation experienced by sinners. We want to be innocent and pure, but we also want to be experienced and taste all of life. We want to serve the poor and have a simple lifestyle, but we also want all the comforts of the rich. We want to have the depth afforded by solitude, but we also do not want to miss anything. We want to pray, but we also want to watch television, read, talk to friends, and go out. It's a small wonder that life is often a trying enterprise, and that we are often tired and pathologically overextended. That overextension that Ronald speaks of, I think sometimes shows up in us as restlessness. And God has a way to turn that restlessness into sinlessness. Some of you will remember the story I shared about Johnny and getting his slingshot for his birthday and went out to his grandmother's farm, and him and his sister Sally were out there and going to spend a few weeks. And he got pretty good at shooting his slingshot. He practiced out in the woods, and as he was coming back into the yard one day, he thought, well, there's Grandma's duck. Maybe I'll try and see if I can hit it. And he did hit the duck. Unfortunately, he killed the duck. And he looked around to see if anybody saw him do that. And his sister Sally saw that and held that over his head for several days, just always reminding him of the duck. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to tell Grandma. Well, Johnny was restless because he just didn't know how to deal with it, and he had a sister reminding him of it all the time. And finally, he had enough. I'm going to confess to Grandma what happened. And he went and told Grandma there in the kitchen about killing her duck. And Grandma said, I know, I saw it as I stood here at the kitchen window. I was just waiting for you to come and tell me about it. You see, God knows what we've already done. Our uneasiness is the Holy Spirit dealing with our sin. And yet once we deal with it, once we confess it, we find that we're forgiven. That's what we know about in the communion we took today. We find forgiveness at the cross of Calvary. Yes, it was our sins that broke Jesus' body, but it's His blood that we find forgiveness. But even before Calvary, David knew where to turn. As we think about the great sin that, and it wasn't the only sin of David, but the great one that we're aware of for him as a leader, that he took Bathsheba and committed adultery with her and had her husband murdered and just all this stuff. And it was a while later when Nathan confronted him and David said, well, that man ought to die. And Nathan said, that's you. And David realized what he had done. And we can read in the 51st Psalm, if you have a chance to read it, don't do that right now, but if you have a chance to read it, you'll find David's words, turn from confession to forgiveness to praise for a God who will forgive him. You and I need to do the same. As we find this restlessness in our lives, in the Holy Spirit working with us and turning us towards sinlessness and helping us to deal with the sin in our lives and to clean things up, we'll find that we receive that forgiveness and our hearts will turn into praise. And we can sing the words or share the words, whatever way you want to do the praising, of Horatio Spafford in the third verse of it as well, when he said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Once we have sin out of the way, we are free to live as God calls us to live. We are then prepared to be faithful in our living for Him. Not only does He remove the sin, He removes the guilt associated with it as well. We are free from that. Now, we're not always free from the consequences. I want to be clear about that. The consequences of our sin sometimes still lay there. But the guilt is gone. That's what the blood of Jesus can do for us, the complete forgiveness that we have. But God will help us. The Holy Spirit will guide us through those consequences. And I believe we survive better with Him than without Him as we go through those consequences. And as our scripture states today, the Holy Spirit helps us to learn how to live in order to please God. In our scripture it says God's will is that we be sanctified. It's His will that we be cleaned up and holy so that we can live in freedom from sin. And that's the ultimate freedom. We're celebrating freedom as we celebrate our country's birthday. 244 years, if I did the math right. Actually, I think I read a headline, so I hope they did the math right. 244 years. And we know, even with all of her problems, this is a great country to live in. And we have freedoms because of those who have gone before. But the ultimate freedom is found in Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And the Holy Spirit comes in to convict us of that, to help us understand that, that this forgiveness that we have, this freedom that we have, comes from God. And we are free to live as God calls us. You know, last year we celebrated Jerry Stevens' life. And he was one, if you just listen to him and as he shared, and I always enjoyed him sharing at Bible study, he lived free and liberated. A song we shared as we celebrated last year was one of his favorites that he'd like to sing. And it talks about the Statue of Liberty being in New York Harbor so that all who see her, whether they're flying into one of the New York City's airports or Newark, New Jersey, or coming in by boat, they see her standing in New York Harbor, and they know that she stands for liberty, and that this country we live in, these United States of America, is the home of the brave and the home of the free. And yet that song transitions in the next verse that there's another Statue of Liberty on a hill called Golgotha. A cross stands there in between two other crosses. And all who come to that cross, the song goes, will live forever. All who come to the Savior who hangs there, Jesus Christ, will find themselves ransomed by His blood and free in the forgiveness that we find there. While our freedoms here in the United States liberate us as citizens, at Calvary, God liberates the soul. It is at the rugged cross that the soul is set free. You and I are given the Holy Spirit so that we can live a life that is pleasing to God. He can clean up the mess sin has caused and is causing, and He can keep sin at bay. I implore you this morning to not reject God. Accept Him today. Invite Him in today. Turn your restlessness into faithfulness. Be holy, for He is holy.